I recently ran across a term that was new to me. Maybe you've heard of it, imposter syndrome. It describes the phenomenon where a person who's seemingly successful has the feeling that, in fact, he's a fake, a fraud. And there's this fear that he will be exposed as an imposter. Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding that term or misusing that term, imposter syndrome, but it seems to me that most people have a feeling like that, at least sometimes. A feeling that they're completely inadequate or really unqualified or just totally incapable of doing what they're supposed to do. I suppose there are a few people who are so confident that they never feel that. But that kind of overconfidence, that's a disorder too, you know. That's what the psychiatrists call the grandiose personality disorder or the narcissistic personality disorder. So that's the other extreme. But and that problem, we see it in famous people, you know, celebrities and politicians. But most people, at least at times, feel like they're just not up to the task that they have to do. We know we're not perfect. Everyone, well, most of us know we're not perfect. And when people accuse us of not being perfect or maybe even of being hypocrites, we say, well, I hope I'm not. I've often heard parents say things like this, they, especially when there's a crisis or something goes wrong with the raising of the children. They say, I don't know what to do. I'm not really sure what's the right way to raise this child or these children. They really feel unqualified. Maybe parents have that feeling all the time, I don't know. But that's how they feel, but they don't tell the children that, of course. Are the parents imposters? Are they hypocrites? No, no, that's just the way it is. And that's the way it is when God gives us a task. Parents are a good example because God gives them their children. But when God gives us a task, we're never really qualified for it. In today's first reading, the prophet Amos was challenged by the priest in charge of the shrine. The priest tells him to go away, get away from the shrine, prophesy some other place. And Amos' response to that is quite interesting. He says, it wasn't my idea. I wasn't a prophet. It never even entered my mind. I was a shepherd. The Lord is the one who told me to go and prophesy to the people of Israel. Did Amos think he was a good choice? Did he think he could do a good job as a prophet? No, it probably never occurred to him. But he, whatever he felt about it, he put it out of his mind and he did what the Lord called him to do. The Lord called him, the Lord sent him, and Amos obeyed the Lord. And as it turns out, he was a very effective prophet. Even though he was accused of being an imposter, and maybe he even felt like an imposter, he didn't focus on how he felt about it. He followed the will of God because the Lord sent him. I'm sure the apostles did not really feel qualified when Jesus sent them out on mission. We heard in today's gospel that the Lord sent out the 12 two by two. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Well, did any of the apostles really think that they could cast out unclean spirits? I'm sure they didn't. They did it anyway because they were told to and they were obedient, and purely out of obedience. And then when they acted in the name of Jesus and it happened, they were probably a little bit surprised. Hey, it really works. Jesus took another step with them when he sent them out. Not only did he tell them to take charge of demons, he also told them to go out with nothing, to take no supplies. This is really shocking when you think about it. He told them to go out with no food, no backpack, no money, no change of clothes. It sounds like a setup. It sounds like Jesus wants them to fail. In fact, exactly the opposite. He wants them to succeed. Think about what Jesus is doing here. He wants the apostles to experience the real source of their power, of their success. And it's certainly not anything that comes from them. They're ordinary men. And it certainly doesn't come from anything they have, any amount of money or any supplies they might have. What they're really being taught is to rely completely on the Lord and not on themselves. Rely on the Lord and not on themselves. And to go out two by two, not alone, but with others, so that they will rely on the Lord and on the support of each other. See, an arrogant or self-important missionary is really not effective at all for the kingdom of God. Now, I just emphasize this feeling of inadequacy, this maybe not imposter syndrome exactly, but this sense of not being able to do what we're sent to do, because I think this can help us apply these readings to ourselves. If we think this is just a story about the apostles a long time ago, well, it won't have much meaning for us. It's just an interesting detail from history. That's what the Lord said to his apostles. But in fact, this process of being sent out by the Lord is not only for the apostles. It applies to us also. Hindi tungkol sa mga apostol, para sa ating din. Para sa atin ang mga pagbasa ito. So, if we too are being sent out, because that's my point, like Amos was sent, like the apostles are sent, well then the next question that comes to us is, well, what are we supposed to do? Ano ang dapat nating gawin? And for this, to answer this, we can find real guidance right here in the gospel. So let me pick out a few points of what Jesus told the apostles and how that can apply to us as well. Well, I already pointed out the first thing, it's that strange instruction that Jesus gave the 12 to bring nothing. What's the advice to us? Not that we have to walk around without any money or without any food, but that we must depend on God and not on ourselves or any earthly support. We must depend on God. If we have something else and we depend on it, it gets in the way. That's right. Rich people are always in danger of thinking they don't need God. Of course they need God. They just don't realize it. But people who have nothing, they know they're dependent on God. So that's what he's teaching the apostles, and that's what he's telling us. Don't let it happen that we think we don't need God. Don't fall into that trap. We must remain constantly aware of our absolute dependence on God. It doesn't matter how much or how little we really have, as long as we have God. That's the point. Okay. Secondly, he sends them out two by two. God doesn't isolate us. He doesn't send us out alone. We shouldn't think that we're the only ones in the world whom he's sending. He expects us to work with others. He expects us to journey with others, to collaborate, to network, to communicate, to support, to rely on one another, to accompany one another. You see, the church is not a collection of loners. The church is a community. Even more, the church is a body. We are one body, the body of Christ. And everything we do, even when we are alone, is somehow related to the work of the whole body. So that's the second point. First of all, rely on God. Secondly, work together with others, two by two. Thirdly, Jesus says, take authority over unclean spirits. Drive out demons. Well, what does that mean for us? The formal work of exorcism, of driving out demons, is actually rare, and it's done by those whom the church designates for that ministry. But so let's set that aside for a moment. As real as it is, most of us are not exorcists, but all of us must do battle with evil every day. It's simply part of our mission every day to fight against evil, to resist temptation, to refuse to participate in evil, to refuse to share in the gossip or in the cheating or in the injustices, to fight against injustice at home and in the world, to use social media for good, not for evil. Yes, take authority over evil with the power that comes from God. It's part of being a missionary, part of being a Christian. We don't do it alone, we do it as a member of the body of Christ. It's part of being a missionary to repent and to call others to repentance, to turn away from evil. Okay. Fourth thought, last thought I want to share about what we're supposed to do when we're sent out. Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet. There will always be people who don't want to hear us. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I can see who's not listening. and there's always people who don't want anything to do with us. There are people who will mock us for our faith, or people who will undermine our efforts to do something good, misrepresent us. There will always be like that. And when that happens, it can even happen in our own families. Even our own family members can somehow oppose us. When it happens, it can be painful, it can be frustrating, it can be infuriating, discouraging, distracting. And Jesus is telling us, well, don't let all those natural reactions stop you. Don't get caught in resentment or in vengeance. Don't get fixated on trying to make anybody do anything. Force our point. No. To be free to serve also means to be free to let go of the hurt and the anger that go with being rejected. Let it go. Shake it off. Shake off the dust. Move on to someone else or to someplace else. Don't let rejection defeat you. Okay, those are just a few ideas from Jesus' instructions to his apostles, which we can take as instructions to us as well. I made 4 points. Rely on God, work together with others, fight against evil, and shake off the effects, or shake off the dust of rejection. Well, then what? The rest is up to God. The rest is up to God. We're only his instruments. We're not the whole team. So we don't have to worry about how it all works out. We don't even have to know. We only have to do our part. When we trust in God, we are not imposters, we are not hypocrites, we are simply missionary disciples, harvesters, humble, imperfect members of his body, sharing in his work on earth.